I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, three verses, verse 17, 18, and 19. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Three commands given to the Thessalonican church in these three verses. So let's read them together, okay? Verse 17, ready, begin. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a new year. And Lord, no one here in this room has missed church in 2018. And thank you for the great start you're giving us. Thank you for the privilege of opening your word. And I pray you'll bless the teens and the Spanish out at the Walther Center and the new Christians and the discipleship and all the things going on tonight. But right here in this auditorium, Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts. And Father, prepare our hearts for this new year. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As we open the Word of God tonight, we hear many sermons, M-I-N-I, many sermons being given at the last part of this epistle to the Thessalonican church. And these are issues of the heart when the Bible speaks about quench not the Spirit. This can be done without an outwardly known action. You can quench the Spirit by your own attitude within your heart. And these are issues of the heart that we read about in this particular passage. And it's interesting to me, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." He was speaking about David's older brother, Eliab. Remember that story? And David saw these, Samuel saw these brothers, and he thought, surely the oldest brother, Eliab, that's the king. He's tall, he's handsome, he's got a lot of hair, kind of like pastor, you know. He's just, that's the one we're going to pick, you know. And Samuel thought, this is who it is. But what does God say to Samuel? He said, "Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now, we must remember tonight that what God is looking for in the beginning of this new year is not necessarily what the world is looking for. Most of what the world is emphasizing right now is the outward emphasis. The world emphasizes the outward stature. And there's nothing wrong in the sense of maybe having some goals to be in shape or going on Weight Watchers. And you can do what I did one time, take some donuts into a Weight Watchers meeting. That always is encouraging, you know. And people think that way. And man looks on the outward, right? And man is continually thinking in terms of, how do I look? How is this appearing outwardly? But God looketh where? At the what? At the heart. And so at the heart of the matter tonight is the matter of the heart. And so oftentimes, long before a parent, long before a pastor really sees outwardly the manifestation of a problem, it's born in the heart. And so tonight, if we're going to prepare our hearts, if we're going to have hearts that are ready, because we know that when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. In other words, we're not really ready for the vision Sunday if our hearts aren't prepared tonight. And if we want to be ready, and if we want God to bless and use us in this new year, then we must have our hearts prepared for Him. And so, notice first of all that we must have a prayerful heart as we enter this new year. Verse 17 is clear and simple. Pray without ceasing. God speaks to us about the privilege of constant prayer. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that no matter where I am, I can immediately come to the throne of grace. I can immediately enter into God in prayer. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Now, I want to challenge everyone here tonight to have a specific time with God each day. And I really think it's best to start your day in prayer. And sometimes people are more like a night owl and a night person, and a lot of times that's how I am. My brain will kick on, and I'll get some reading done at night and so forth. But I always begin my day with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer. And I hope that you're either getting the Daily in the Word devotional or that you have some kind of a Bible reading schedule. I'm using the Olive Tree Bible app. I'm on the McShane Bible reading plan this year, and I just love that particular plan. It goes from Old Testament to New Testament, then to a psalm or proverb, and sometimes even back to a New Testament. And it just gives you some corresponding passages, Old Testament to New Testament. Some people might be doing a one-year Bible where you start in Genesis and just read right through Revelation. And it doesn't really matter what the plan is, but what is important is that you have time with the Lord each day in Bible study, Bible reading, and then in prayer. Time to come to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God says, I want you to constantly be in prayer. So while we encourage and while I think it's so important to have a beginning of your day in prayer and time with the Lord, the Bible challenges us to be constantly speaking to the Lord. Years ago, I remember a Christian film, I believe it was on the story of evangelist Tom Williams. And I don't remember much about the film, other than he was in need for medical bills for his wife. Some of you might remember that movie, and I remember he got onto the elevator at the hospital after getting a bill, another large bill for his wife's care, and I remember seeing him in that elevator, and he took off his cowboy hat, and he just started praying. He said, "Lord, it's Tom again, and I need some help again," and he just began to bear his heart out to the Lord. And I don't know why, it just struck me. You can pray in an elevator. You can pray in a commuter car. You can pray anywhere, anytime. How many of you are thankful for that, that you have that direct access? I think it was about 31 years ago that we put a private line into my office telephone. You don't really need it now with cell phones, I suppose. But back at those days, I wanted Terry to know that no matter what was going on, no matter who I was counseling, no matter what I was in the middle of, if she needed me, here's the number, honey. You call me. You're the only one that has that number. Call me anytime, and I'm available for you. And did you know that God loves you so much that He says to all of us, anytime, day or night, you might be in a hospital, you might be at work on the swing shift, you might be burdened about something with your family, but I want you to come, and I want you to come boldly, Hebrews 10 says, unto the throne of grace. So we're to be constantly in prayer as we approach this new year, and we're to be what the Bible refers to as being instant in prayer. That is to say that we are to be continuously, Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And I often like to say, obey every impulse of the Lord. And sometimes people will ask you to pray for them. And you know what I have found is that it's often good just to stop right there and pray, just right there. Just take a minute, either with the person or by yourself somewhere, and just pray for them. And then jot down that prayer request. That's why we give out the prayer page every Wednesday night, so that when you go to your private place for prayer, you can have the place where you open your Bible and where you have this prayer list, and you can just bring these things before the Lord. But sometimes you've got prayer requests that you don't need them on paper. They're just on your heart. And you're burdened for someone. And the Bible says just continually come to the Lord in prayer. And so I want to challenge you, enter into this year with that spirit of prayer, just talking with the Lord, bringing your needs before Him, intercessory prayer, praying for other people, importunate prayer, praying with fasting and with a heart of desire for the Lord. And so here the Bible is very simple for us tonight. Pray without ceasing. We're going to pray in just a few moments and ask the Lord to bless in the new year of the church. And then secondly, I want you to think about your heart, not only as a prayerful heart this year, but secondly, as a thankful heart. A thankful heart. Now, notice it in verse 18, in everything, give thanks. A moment ago, I mentioned how Brother Ron Hamilton has been diagnosed with dementia. He knew that when we were with him this summer. We talked about it some as we had a meal or two together. And I can remember just like yesterday, as he got a big, broad smile on his face, and he said, well, the Lord brought me through cancer, and he's brought me through so many things. He'll bring me through this. You know what that's the evidence of? It's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in control in his life. And I was studying some over this Christmas holiday again, the fruit of the Spirit, and just the importance of walking in the Spirit. And it's amazing when you study it, and it's convicting because you realize that we need to have a heart of gratitude. And here we see that we're to have a thankful heart. Thankful for what? Well, notice here it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, I believe, first of all, then, we must be thankful for our Savior. Just take time each day to thank the Lord for what He did for you. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes Satan wants us to feel as though we're defeated, we're on the losing side. But really, just the opposite is true, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the victory. And we need to be thankful for that tonight. In fact, it doesn't matter what happens in 2018, we already have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to give Him thanks. Just say, Lord, I don't understand everything that's going to happen or that is happening, but I want to say to you that I trust you. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to me. Thank you for bringing me through this far. And be thankful for the work of the Savior on the cross of Calvary. I really believe this, that no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through, that if we'll take time to meditate on that cross and what happened there and who died there and to be thankful, it really changes the perspective no matter what's going on in our life. And I was sharing with our staff this morning just a brief devotion with some of our pastoral staff on all that Jesus did for us, how that His body was broken, how that His will was broken, how that He was broken and spilled out for us, and how we should also be a people that are broken in our will and yielded, and that we would break up the fallow ground of our heart. And when you really ponder the fact that Jesus humbled Himself and became a man and suffered and died for our sin, it changes the perspective on so many things. It really reminds us of how blessed we are as a people. So we must have a thankful heart for the Savior. And then we need to be thankful for every God-given opportunity this year. You know, sometimes we come into circumstances and we tend to complain when it's difficult rather than to give thanks to the Lord for the opportunity. I think of David after God delivered him from Saul. You remember how jealous Saul was always of David. And look at this verse in 1 Samuel 22:50. I read this past week and it blessed my heart. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Now, this is David's prayer after Saul had been trying to kill him time and time and time again. And he said, Lord, I just want to give you thanks, and I'm going to give you thanks in the midst of the heathen for what you did in preserving my life. And, you know, anybody can give thanks to the Lord when everything's going great. But it takes a Spirit-filled Christian to give thanks when things have been going in a more difficult way. Let me encourage you, don't waste the trial. It's a shame to waste a crisis. And when God brings a crisis into your life, when God allows a trial, remember all of the fiery trials are Father filtered, right? He will not allow us to be tried above that which we are able. And when God brings us into circumstances that are beyond our control, anything out of our control is in the will of God. Anything out of our control is in the will of God. And when God brings us to that point, and there's nothing we could do to stop this, there's no way that we could have prevented this. It's just, boom, here we are facing this. Then God has a purpose in that. And God wants us to look for that purpose. Romans 8:28. is very clear on this subject, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so in the context of that sovereign hand of God, then we pause and we just give thanks to the Lord in the good times and in the bad times. And so I believe that tonight we ought to say, Lord, help me to enter this year prayerfully in everything, giving prayer, praying without ceasing. Help me to grow in my prayer life. And then, Lord, help me to enter this year thankful from the very first week of this year, giving you thanks for what you've done, giving you thanks for what you will do. And I find that a lot of times it's easy to see unthankfulness in other people. Like, we can see it in teenagers, you know, and we can see it in people that always want more from the government or whatever hits your hot button. But how many of you would admit that all of us hit periods of time when we're not as thankful as we should be? And when that happens, comparison comes and discontentment comes, and now the devil's having his way. So let me encourage you that you would spend time with a thankful heart as we begin this new year. So first of all, a prayerful heart. Secondly, in everything, giving thanks to the Lord. Then notice this third verse. What a powerful verse. And this kind of launches us into Sunday. Notice what it says, quench not the Spirit. Let's say this together, quench not the Spirit. So let me encourage you, before we go to the Lord in prayer, to have this year a sensitive heart. Now, I don't mean by that an easily offended heart, right? The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. So, you know, you meet sometimes Christians, and they're so easily offended. I mean, it's the smallest thing can set them off. That's not what we mean by a sensitive heart. What we mean by a sensitive heart is that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, an immature Christian is sensitive in that they're easily hurt all the time. And, that was said just at me. And, you know, one person in the church can say something and they'll say, the whole church is that way. And they're very, very sensitive to what others would say or think. That's not a good sensitivity to be that way. The good sensitivity is that we would have a tenderness towards the Lord and towards the Holy Spirit. So the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Now let's just quickly identify the Holy Spirit. You see the identification of the Spirit. And how do we identify the Spirit in verse 19? Very easily, with a capital S. So this is not speaking about, you know, some man's spirit. This is speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we've studied this many times in the past, but there's a lot of new members here tonight. And how many of you are aware of the fact that as Baptists, we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. They are the three in one. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And God says that we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, we've taught our children, for example, from the time they were learning how to talk, that we don't take the name of the Lord in vain. In our home, if that would have happened, they would have been licking their wounds for a while. We would have talked and prayed and counseled and had therapy and the whole nine yards. We just weren't going to allow even a derivative of the name of Jesus used in a phrase that is disrespectful. And most of us would agree with that. Most of you would be like me in the sense that when someone says the name of Jesus and connects it with cursing, it hurts you. Because we love the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we love His name, and His name's above every name. But did you know that God says, that's the spirit I want you to have towards my Holy Spirit? Even as you would not quench the Lord, the name of the Lord, God says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. He's an equal person of the Trinity. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, all of you have someone in your life, perhaps, that you could grieve. A lot of times, us husbands are good at grieving our wife. Sometimes we don't intend for that to happen. But we can maybe come home from work and just kind of grumpy, and instead of noticing the whole area that our wife may be cleaned or some new thing she made or how nice dinner smells, we see one thing that's not yet done and we bring that out. How many of your husbands are kind of, you guys are a little bit stupid like I am that way, and sometimes you see what you should not see and you didn't see what you should have seen and you get your signals crossed and before you know it, you've put your size 11 in your mouth. Anybody else like that? Because I do that regularly. And sometimes over the years, just saying the wrong thing, I can grieve Terry's spirit. And not that it's a fight even, it's just in inwardness that something was said, it can grieve her spirit. And when we talk about raising children, we sometimes say to be careful with having an angry spirit towards your child. Because even your tone of voice can grieve the spirit of a child. How many of you have ever seen maybe someone just harshly speaking at a child, and you could literally sense the way the child was grieved just by their body posture? You know, they shrink back, their spirit is grieved. Now, I do not intend to paint a picture that God is in heaven in a state of weakness, but what I'm trying to illustrate is the fact that we serve a God who's holy and mighty and powerful to create the whole world, and yet he's sensitive to his children. Isn't that amazing? That we have a God who's so loving and so desires our fellowship that when we never pray or when we sin without thinking of it or when we hurt his body with gossip or when we neglect to read his word, that when we're not having relationship with him, it can grieve him. And certainly the most grievous thing that we do is not only to sin, but then to go on in our sin, acting as though the Holy Spirit's not there. And these are grievous things. So the Holy Spirit is who we speak of here tonight. Now think of the sensitivity of the Spirit. First of all, he is quenched by our neglect, failing to allow him to rule. Now look, if you would, in your notes there, Galatians 5:17. It says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So here we see that we, by neglecting the Spirit, and by just doing what comes natural, can quench the Holy Spirit. It's this way. If I came into your home tomorrow night as a guest, and I'm standing there in your foyer of your home, and you don't ask maybe to take my coat, you don't show me a seat, you don't give me a drink of water, you don't tell me where to sit, you don't act like you really want me to be there, and you don't even speak to me. After a few moments or a little while, how many of you would understand that's a little awkward, right? And how many of you know that when you got saved, the Holy Ghost took up residence in your life? Your body is the what of the Holy Spirit? It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives within you when you're saved. And when you never listen to him or hear from him or act like he's even there, it's a grievous thing. I don't think anyone here wants to grieve the Holy Spirit in 2018. But we must learn how to practice his presence, how to enjoy his presence, how to lean into his presence, how to hear his still small voice in this new year, because the Spirit wants to have power and leadership over the flesh. But if we neglect the Spirit, he cannot lead and we cannot know his power. And I think sometimes after we're saved a while, we can just let certain messages like this just kind of go off our back. And we can take these things for granted, but there is a God that lives in you, and he wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to listen to him, and he wants to talk to you and communicate with you. And the Bible says, don't quench him. Don't treat him like he's not even there. Years ago, when my granddad was alive, he had a problem with his garden, seems like a lot of the summer times. And his problem was that he had too many deer coming in and eating his garden. And he tried all kinds of things to keep those deer out of there. And one of the things that he tried, I remember, was a radio. He'd play radio music. They must have been kind of worldly, dear. They just got used to the music, you know, and just kind of came. After the first few nights, just kind of had a little party in there with the music, I guess. And then he tried these big spotlights to get these deer out of his garden. Oh, he loved his garden, all the cabbage and all of the different corn, and he loved that garden. But, you know, after a while, they even got used to the light. I mean, it seemed like after the first couple nights, they'd be back into that garden, no matter what he put up there. And, you know, sometimes when we first hear a message about the coming of the Lord, or when we first realize about the presence of the Lord in our life, some of these things, they alarm or they alert us, and we're amazed and we're in awe and wonder. But if we're not careful, we can become desensitized to the presence of the holy. And this is why the Bible uses these words: grieve not, quench not. Don't get used to it. Don't treat it like it's just another day. So he is quenched by our neglect. And secondly, he's quenched by sin in our life. Now, the word quench really gives us a picture. And I think about when you go up to the mountains, maybe camping, you've got to make sure that when you're done camping, you quench that fire out, right? You don't want to leave the campground, start a campfire of some kind, and you've got to quench the fire to make sure that it's out. Well, how many of you know God does not want the baptism that he has given to us by his Spirit to ever be quenched out? And it will not be fully quenched out. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for our eternal security. But he wants the fire of his presence to be known and seen. If I could say it this way, he wants our presence to warm up this cold spiritual community. He wants our lives to be on fire for him. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. And he says, quench not the Holy Spirit. And if I could get this picture in your mind, when you get upset with your spouse, when you are filled with covetousness at work, when there's lust or envy in your heart, when these things are happening, it's like pouring water onto your spiritual fire. It's just literally dousing out the very warmth and presence of God from your life when you allow sin to quench. And John said it this way in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And what is the fire? It is the presence, the illuminating power of God's Holy Spirit within us. And so I just want you to consider tonight the matter of your heart. And there are many things that we can organize. And I don't know, some of you might be like me. I mean, I've organized my closet. I've organized my desk drawers. I think I've even got all my socks color-coded in the sock drawer. I'm not sure. But I've organized a lot of things. New Year's inspired me that way. And I've got all of my sermons charted out for the first 6 months and all big spreadsheets. And Lord willing, I feel like I've got good direction for the preaching. I've studied the calendar. I mean, just so many things that I've tried to put in order. But if my heart is not right, not one single plan, not one single day will be what God wants it to be. And so what we're talking about tonight is the most important thing. That is preparing the heart for the new year, making sure that we're ready for the new year. Here we have three challenges: that we would have a prayerful heart, that we would pray without ceasing. I want to encourage you to be in a conversation with the Lord this year that's normal and regular, and not using prayer as your spare wheel, but literally talking to the Lord throughout every day. And then not only a prayerful heart, but a thankful heart. Just begin the year out with gratitude to the Lord. And finally, let me encourage you to have a sensitive heart. Not that you would be easily offended, but that you would recognize that there's a holy God living within you. And don't act like he's not there, but treat him like the royal guest that he is. and give him the prominent place in the throne room on the throne of your heart. Right now, tonight, let the Holy Spirit know you have first place to lead and to guide and to direct in my life. And I think of the Lord Jesus, how when he was tempted of the devil, how that he was so filled with the Spirit. If you ever read that passage in Matthew's gospel, it says, and he, being led of the Spirit, went into the wilderness. I believe the reason he came out of the wilderness and he withstood Satan, not only was that he quoted Scripture, but that our Savior was filled with the Spirit. And we also need to be filled and sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we enter this year.